All right. We here, Mood Slingers.
What's happening?
Yo.
All right. Yo, today's music versus yesterday's music.
Oh, whoa.
You know, I was watching Ed Lover on a podcast. He said something very interesting. And he was talking about the access of music. And one of the reasons why music back in the day made you feel a certain way, versus now, is because when it was in the physical format, when you had to get the album, the cassette, or the CD, and you know, where you read the linear notes of who did what and all that, and you checked out all the pictures of your particular artist, you had a more of a personal connection, to whereas now it's just a stream.
Yo, to be the first one on your block to have it meant something. To be the first one on the block.
Right.
That meant something back then, man.
It's, yeah.
Like nowadays, I don't know, man, brother. It's almost like the human society is geared upon being lazy. Everything is so convenient. It's just a click away. And it's taken away the, yo, I stood in the rain for this CD, or, you know, like, yo, I was there when they opened the box for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how it felt to go to Earwax. Like, yo, let me get that new Roots. You know what I'm saying? Come alive, and it's right there. You know, that it meant something.
Yeah. It's definitely different. I mean, you, as a music lover, would anticipate, you know, releases. And, you know, seeing it from both sides, from a music lover and being a retailer, seeing how people just were excited.
Yeah.
Man, listen, when Master P was at his height, and they were putting out albums weekly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like selling drugs at the record store.
Wow.
You know what I mean? The way people were coming in because they were trying to cop the newest Master P, you know, CDs and stuff, man. So it's totally different. You know what I mean?
I can tell you, I worked at Tower Records from 1990 to 92. And they used to have where a particular album dropped at midnight, because Tower Records normally closed about 10 o'clock.
Tower Records, where? Make it clear, brother.
In New York City, Greenwich Village.
All right.
Main location, 4th and Broadway.
Talk to him. All right.
If you know, you know.
Talk to him.
Okay? And they would have, if whatever album it was, it could have been Prince, it could have been Madonna, it could have been Tribe Called Quest, it could have been Ice Cube, whatever. Tuesday was when the new releases come in at midnight, and people used to be lined up like they would line up for Jordans. There's no other
concert tickets, almost, man.
Right. I mean, there's no other product that people actually sleep outside the store for. For new release. I think they only do it for Jordans, because Jordans are still the physical.
You know, back in the day, you know what I'm saying, for concerts, they used to do that. You know what I'm saying?
So right.
Before you were able to get your tickets online.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I remember Prince concerts.
Oh, know, man.
Yeah. Outside, you know what I'm saying? Three days before.
Right.
You went on sale.
Right.
You know what I mean?
In the cold.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So, on that end, yes, music brought out that in the fans, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whereas now you don't have that type of excitement. Everything is just a button and a click. You know what I'm saying? There's no soul in it.
Right.
No effort.
Right.
It really is not, because you can go through various albums in 15 minutes, man. I mean, see who got what coming out, man.
As much as they talk about, I'll give an example. Like a new release. Let's talk about top pioneer who's still putting out music to this day. We'll talk about Nas, right? People still talk about Illmatic. Illmatic was released when?
93.
Okay.
Put your thinking capsule.
Now, people said King Disease 2, one of his recents, was a critically acclaimed album. It's dope. However, the same height that they talk about with King Disease 2 is not the same height that they talk about with Illmatic.
Well, there's a shift in the age groups.
No. But Nas primary, his audience is still us.
Yeah.
That's us buying that. That ain't the new generation is just like, oh wow, oh okay, I'm doing this thing, I can get with I'm doing this thing. But motherfuckers like, yo, when I heard the whoop de whoop, oh my god, like you don't get those reactions.
Well, you know, and then I'm gonna tell you too. Also, let's be real about this now.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we was expecting Nas, we wanted to get a producer on that album too.
Yes,
because that album was star-studded with producers.
Yes.
Right.
A lot of producers. That was they debuted their best work.
Remember that picture of the magazine with of Nas sitting with Q-Tip and Pete Rock?
Okay, all right.
No. We gotta tell you this. We gotta add to that.
Also, but my point is, it just gave you this anticipation, like, yo.
No doubt. And that goes back to what you were saying earlier about reading those liners.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See who produced this. Who worked with who.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You did have more of a connection with the music and to the art.
Yes, all those producers, that was like their breakout, you know, that was like the breakout of their best work. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, that's early. Yeah. Like when you talk about Large Professor, when you talk about Pete Rock, when you talk about Premier, when you talk about LES.
Q-Tip.
You know, that was the early bodies of working production that they did. And that kind of just springboarded them for the rest of that. Now, you know, not to take it away from the new brother that did Nas's recent choice. Huh? Hit Boy.
Yeah.
Hit Boy's already established.
Yeah.
Hit Boy really has nothing to prove. Because Hit Boy is already like...
talk about Q-Tip and Lost Professor and all of them. And let us not forget before them.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Paul, Daddy-O.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Prince Paul and Daddy-O. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as far as like crapping it and like shaping the sound, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
Your Molly Malls.
Oh, yeah. And
those type of cats. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then the shifting of who you was just explaining. Now.
Right.
So I just wanted to, you know, mention those names. That's all.
Oh yeah, we definitely got to give credit to them because Molly Marl was like, he was Molly Marl was able.
My inspiration, bro. I'm sorry. Come on. Yeah.
Molly Marl goes back to the first generation when we talk about producers, because you know he made the bridge, correct?
Yeah.
MC Shan.
Right.
So.
But that's second generation, dude.
No, that's first generation. If you want to be honest, because that came out in 80 what?
Yeah.
Put on your thinking caps. You can correct us if we're wrong.
Yeah,
MC Shan is definitely first generation.
Yo, who produced who? Come on now, because yeah, if you're saying MC Shan is first generation, then that means Houdini and UTFO.
First generation.
Hitman Howie T
would be second. Second generation, because. Chubb Rock came out in 89. So we're doing.
What was the name of that album? What album are you talking about, Chubb Rock? What?
His first one.
89?
Yeah.
First one was 89. You sure about that? Hey Fat Soul was 89? Hey Fat Soul was 89?
Oh, my.
You talking about Chubb Rock? Chubb Rock.
Correct me for the one that.
That was like 87.
Talk to me.
Okay.
Yeah, come on,
yeah.
But back to this.
Well, that would be, but that would be second, because we're doing 73 to 83.
All right.
That's, so if 87, second generation.
What year? Talking about, okay, Queens, Tough City.
Mm-hmm.
Gaddafi, Intelligent Hoodlum's first crew. That song called Don't Do It. It was a song about crack, the Tough City crew. That was 81.
Oh, yeah, you got me on that one. You got me. I'm stuck.
That wasn't no 70s joint. That was early 80s.
That was early 80s. That's definitely Tough City is a label that goes back to the early 80s.
Right, but it was Tough City. That's one of them. And Tragedy Kadafi was part of that. It was a song called "Don't Do It." It was about crack. Was that before 83?
Might have been after, but it's kind of like 85-ish, 86-ish.
If you know, leave it in the comments. Pick up Vern Lodge. If you know.
Right. Vern, you know, he know. Yes.
Word. Okay.
Second thing that he mentioned was, this is what I say too. The music, like what a lot of them are sampling now, it's like they're not, you know, it was back then, it was such an incorporation of so many styles of music, jazz, classical, Afrobeat, funk, soul, rock and roll. Like to now, they're just basically.
Let's say Afrobeat. Afrobeat is some new shit.
Well, no, not necessarily, because Afrobeat really was.
It was jazz. You have Afrobeat and you have Afrobeats.
Right.
You have highlight and then you have Afrojazz. So yeah, you there.
Well, okay, today's Afrobeat is more of a fusion.
It's beats.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, there was so much incorporation of different styles of music back then versus now, where they're just taking a Jay-Z record, sampling that. they're just taking an Ice Cube record and remaking the song. It's like, right. Exactly.
Just click.
Right.
Push.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
No effort.
Right.
It has its goods and its bad.
So, you know, back in the day, it was a sin for you to sample somebody else's sample. You know what I mean?
I won't say that. I won't say, you know what? Because there were a lot of songs. There were a lot of songs. For instance, you had Chill Rob G, The Power, and you had Snap.
Okay, but I'm
nobody tripped on that.
I'm talking about as far as what we listen to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That type of hip hop, boom bap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When it came to those type of producers, they didn't sample the same stuff. They all did. In fact,
right.
Samples, or, you know, are called G.
Or they would flip the sample different.
Yeah.
They would flip the same sample different.
Yeah, different, but right. Still, you know what I'm saying?
Because everybody sampled the hell out of Nautilus.
Well, they made an effort. They made an effort.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To make the music their own,
or right,
to make it sound different.
Right.
Nowadays, everything is just robotic.
Yeah. And then, like, another point that I'm, like, it was live instrumentation. They took the live instrumentation element out of, you know what I'm saying, the music. Like, everything, like right now, everything is programmed. Nobody actually played. Like, you have some producers that actually played the drums over, played them.
Right, exactly.
But you got some cats from the 60s and 70s, man, who hated the whole idea of beat machines and synthesizers.
Right.
You know, it eliminates the whole, you know what I'm saying, reason to have a musician actual musician in the studio playing.
That technology started in the early 60s. Like the beat, like the actual beatbox. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. D-Devon, let me say one thing right here, bro. And I'm glad we're speaking about this right now, and I'm glad it's going to be on the D-Devon experience, man. You know, anybody out there listening, this of a younger age group, let me be the first to say, because, you know, the questions of comments on this podcast is not everybody's damn opinion. So at this point, let me just be for myself, but I know both my brothers, you know what I'm saying, feel the same way that I feel and can agree with this. For the people that's younger that could be listening, check this out. Every generation hated on the generation under them or after them. It's natural.
Facts.
All right. So, you know, you had, you know, everything, a lot of our forms of music came from blues. I mean, with the one and the four. But, you know, blues is an off blow of gospel. Gospel hated blues. You're doing the devil's music. You know what I'm saying? Muddy Waters said the blues, rock and roll ain't nothing but the blues sped up. A lot of the blues cats couldn't stand rock and roll. A lot of the rock and roll cats couldn't stand, you know what I'm saying, heavy metal. A lot of the heavy metal cats couldn't stand punk rock. So, you know what I'm saying, this is the same thing that's going on with hip hop right now. It's been going on, especially with music.
Right.
Jazz cats couldn't stand bebop. You know what I'm saying? And so on and so forth. So they always say that it gets watered down, but can everybody just once look at the seed and nucleus of it? It all came from the same source. So I think we should just stop arguing about this shit.
If the world would be a better place if it was that simple.
And it's a fairy tale right now because, you know, first of all, as many views and listeners this show should have, and subscribers, it should be viral by now, you know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't doubt if somebody else of a lower form of life would probably hear this and then put it on their own podcast and the shit blows up. Once again, let's get to the nucleus of things and just respect the original art form of music. Music is the only thing that can bring races together in harmony. Music is the only thing that can cure racism for however long these people are on stage. At that same show in Offenbach, Germany, 1988, I saw skinheads at a Public Enemy concert. We whooped their ass and I let it, but they were still there and jumping the rebel without a pause.
Yeah, hey. Let me add to that. The trendsetter of when you talk about jazz to bebop, like Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Because people hated Miles Davis for that transition, but he became the pioneer. You know? So like in this day and time, we need somebody like that.
Miles Davis is the founder of what they now call jazz fusion.
Right.
Like Fela Kuti is the father of what they call Afrobeat.
Facts.
Which came from James Brown. Let's talk about it.
Facts.
All right. So let's get to the nucleus.
Foundational
how,
black.
How it all comes down to it.
Foundational black American for all y'all riding that wave.
Come on, y'all. So what I would like
no disrespectfully.
as far as the new artists is listening right now, if there are people. But as far as the new artists, I challenge you all. First, make it over the age of 30. That's your first challenge. Make it over the age of 30, right? And within that right there, try to create music that you would want to hear 30, 40 years from now. Because we have that. That's why we have our chest out about our music and our generation. Because when we were at, I'm going to just do a little sidebar. When we went to the, you know what I'm saying, when we had went to the Gene Brown beatdown, when we went to that right there, the feelings, it felt like, you know what I'm saying, I was hearing some of them songs for the first time.
Right.
And I want the younger generation to feel the same way about their music.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
I just don't, you know, Percocet. Molly Perkins. You know what I'm saying? When your grandkids is 20, well, granddaddy, what were y'all listening to? You gonna put on, you know what I'm saying? Mask off. Is that what you're gonna play?
No.
I don't think so.
Are you gonna
come on now.
Are you gonna play Booty Hole Brown? The Negro Eat Me Out.
Yeah, you wild. It's
all
good. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not trying to dog you females that's on that stripper music, that's on that wave. But y'all gonna get older and y'all not gonna be on that vibe. Just like the Freaknik documentary that's supposed to come out, and there was a lot of females that were 20, they didn't care, they was doing their thing, they was wilding at. Now guess what? Those same women, they're judges and lawyers, they're working in city council, and those were the ones that were fighting to keep that tape on
around. Y'all done renavigated your lives and you wanna lie now, but grandma.
Right.
You was dropping it low.
Right. Well, let's keep it 100. Where do you think the new generation learned it from? Luke.
Listen,
the Luke era, that started when? Early 90s. That started in our era.
I went to HBCU, man. Why?
Why?
I was here for the last two Freaknik people in the city of Atlanta. Look at here. Look at him.
My first Freaknik was 1996.
You saw when it was like, wow.
And they said 96 was like, meh.
Chill.
But for me, I was like, what? Hey.
It was bugged out, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to say this right here. Do this right here.
Right.
Because I've been this a few times, and I've got some very interesting responses. To ask on someone in their 20s, yo, what's the last rap song you heard that made you feel good about yourself?
I asked the young, and listen, I'm not just no old head hater. like y'all like to classify us, but I actually asked the young guns, I said, yo, what's your favorite? Like, what's the timeless classic for you that like gets you up there? It's like, yo, it was like, yo, you can remember what you did. Like if you like if you're in your 20s and 30s now, what's that song that you listened to in elementary school that was like, yo, that was your motivational song. That was your, you know, that's the song that you can still listen to today. A lot of them
had no answer.
Yeah. It's weird. And they don't, and you can't fault them, but that's when a lot of the connection was taken away. With the streaming crap, because there's nothing to, like, the only connection is when they hear it in the club or when they go to the concert. That's it. Yeah. Other than that, none.
Young people, it's not y'all's fault. I think y'all have been systematically designed to not to want to even deal with older people, because there's evil forces that want to take control of your brain and not allow our influence to pretty much infiltrate the poison that they're trying to play upon you.
Right. I mean, and that's done purposely, because for what we went through, our job is to educate. That's what we do. That's the whole, that's my whole passion about doing these podcasts, to educate everybody. Because there's a lot of us that forget. It's like, oh, word, yo. Word. And then there's younger ones that's like, word, yo, I need to, I see it now. Now I need to pattern myself in this direction.
You know what though, man? And also, man, I think that there's a positive about it, man, because for the brothers of our age group, I'm speaking to y'all right now, man. Don't forget what it was to be young, yo. Once upon a time, we was not wearing strings in our damn shoes and people could understand what the point of that was. You know what I'm saying? So we was doing some bugged out, we had some wild haircuts. We was doing some bugged out dances.
Again, the same way too. Listen, but a lot of the way the young generation is because they're copying us.
Listen.
A lot of them would love to live the lifestyle that we were living in the 90s. They're trying to capture that.
But listen, in saying that, there are a lot of young artists that do have good substance in their music.
Yes.
It's just that the forces that be,
the corporations ain't playing that.
Once again, so, it's not y'all's fault.
Right.
So until we start demanding more of what we listen to cater to that type of thing,
yeah,
right,
then that's when things are gonna change.
Why is 90 just run the bell, brother? You just rung the bell, brother.
You'll see a change in you.
You just right. rung the bell right there, brother. That's why they don't want the younger generation dealing with us, because we will be the ones knocking down doors for them. You know what I'm saying? In the proper direction where they will never get taken advantage of, yo. That's word up. Yo, pick up Juno Glock, man. Pick up Uriah Heep, man. Pick up Wiz Kelly, man.
Yeah.
The younger generation, Storm Jihad, man. Pick up the younger generation, man, that's really holding this hip-hop shit up, man. How exactly. We love
it. They got the lyrics.
They out there, man.
They got the lyrics.
They really
right.
are out there,
out there, man.
Pick up, you know, for real,
they
man.
Just don't get the same glory that somebody that's sliding on the ops or, you know, Booty Brown.
That's real. That's something, yo,
right.
Yo, we got female MCs too. Big up Keith Turner, female producers. Female producers definitely. Like JP the producer, the K-Bob.
Again, right. You know what I'm saying? Toot our own horn, but that's what we try to do with the cup. That's why we try to bring those artists to the forefront.
Yeah, we're doing that. That's the platform that we can push those artists. Yeah. So at least
so
it's heard
love,
by
I
yeah.
love my young generation.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they're innovators.
Right.
A lot of them are doing things that we didn't even think of. It is dope. You know what I'm saying?
But no, the thing is, we have to pass the torch to them.
And it needs to be put in its proper place.
Right. We have to pass the torch to them because
everything don't need to be on the radio.
You know what, though, brother? Right. Not just pass.
Well, you know, the radio is the medium. Unfortunately, the radio is the medium of how a lot of people get their music. There's not people, as much as we have the internet and you have so many options to get music, people are just stuck on when they get inside their car and turn on. Who was it?
There needs to be more variety.
Yes, absolutely.
Yo,
that's the problem.
not just pass the torch, brother. I'm gonna go so far as to say this: not just passing the torch, man, but admiring the fires that they've set, man. Standing
yes.
around the bonfires daily, you know what I'm saying? Day bus. Because a lot of older people want to understand y'all, but some of us just don't know how to ask. You know what I'm saying? Right. A lot of us just can't really speak y'all's language, man. And don't feel bad because, you know, I never sold crack, but it took me a while to understand what everything was being said in the purple tape. I'm having a hard time now overstanding Griselda because I was never on the block like that.
Right.
But it's still dope. I can still get
with it. But we love the cadence.
We love the cadence, man. The style of it, man. Y'all, one love, y'all. Man, one love to man, all y'all for real, man. Keep doing y'all's thing, man. Keep doing y'all's thing, man. I mean, right now, bro, right now in 2023, man, we are encompassed amongst the biggest and largest perpetuation of Willie Lynch amongst the young and the old and the males and the females. And it's being done a lot through music. It's being done a lot through music, man, because it is a crutch to control people. Look what they done did to Tyrone. You know what I'm saying? That's for real. They clones, man. Like, once upon a time, everybody couldn't have the same style. You couldn't sound like everybody else. Now it's being allowed. That's cool, but give us some variety, like how my brother said. And give us more to listen to. We know that story already. Give us something else. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Right. Yeah, we're gonna let it go on that, man. This was a good convo.
No doubt, man. Always good to build with y'all, brothers.
Younger generation, we need y'all, man. We need the younger generation. We need y'all. I want to understand algorithms the way that y'all do it. Plus, I want to turn y'all on some old school shit that you might have never heard before, that you might like. You know what I'm saying? That's for real. We need the fellowship of the younger generation, man, especially the younger artists. Stop letting them separate us, man. Stop letting the industry separate the older artists from the younger artists, because this hip-hop shit right there, it has no age limit.
It's universal.
It has no age limit. It's universal. It is timeless, or it's supposed to be timeless. Don't make cookie cutter music. Get authentic, man. Let me hear something 30 years from now and be proud of y'all, for real.
No doubt. Mood Slingers.
African Stir Fry.
Wise 9.
D Divine.
Yeah.
There it is.
All right.